vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. These preparations are concealed, not public. The stakes are buried, not headlined. Its percenters are silent, not praised.
Millions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Poor.
The best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Sitting a shop. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
Alrighty, folks, welcome to UCY.TV and radio and all that. Welcome to Cold Reality Radio Show Report, and welcome to myself. I'm Clint Richardson. Joining me today is Patrick Jordan. Shali will be returning next week. Need a little break, so here we are. Patrick, do we have you, or are we good?
Patrick.Jordan is at your service.
Very nice. First a little update on myself, since I've been kind of... detached and separated from, for the most part. I stepped away from all of the hard work that I've been doing, and I'm getting slowly back into it. But, book's just about finished. I've been smoothing it out, fixing a lot of errors, unforced errors, unfortunately, that, had to go back in, fixed some, run-on sentences, that kind of thing. And it's looking pretty good. In fact, I was just writing about the transfer agreement, and I basically picked apart all the religions and just called complete bullshit on them. And in defense of the Bible, which is an interesting, don't think a lot of people have done that, but. It's what it is. It's perfected as far as I'm concerned, and ready to go here in the next week or two, and I'll be sending that to print. And that's where I'm at now. Patrick has already, for lack of a better term, has already blown his load on 12 or 13 books. And, so here we are at kind of a standstill. And I asked Patrick the other day, I said, look, man, there's so much crap going on right now in one of my other, favorite subjects, which is, of course, vaccination. That I asked Patrick if he wanted to, you know, we've talked about it for a long time, and, asked Patrick if he wanted to do a documentary, a real documentary, not this crap that keeps coming out over and over and over, on vaccinations. And, for the first time, perhaps, actually discuss what's happening behind the scenes, or if you will, behind the veil of the body, the blood, the vessels, and the everything that's happening inside the human body because of these things that are being injected into us. And, of course, Patrick's like, hell yeah, because, you know, when you're sitting on this much of a tome of information as Patrick is with all his books and, of course, all my work on the same subject, you know, who better qualified Maybe the better word, Patrick, is who is better unqualified to make a documentary? Who is less connected to that freaking industry, that for-profit industry that harms so many people? Who is more unconnected than us to make a documentary? Well, most people would say, well, wait a minute, don't you want to be connected? No, you want to be detached. You want to be completely able to call it out for what it is, and you can't do that. You find that all these people making documentaries, behind the scenes, they seem to be have a different tune than what they say on camera or what their intent is with their documentary. Well, I don't really, I'm not really against vaccines. I'm against this, or I'm against one ingredient, or I don't like the schedule. I don't like how many vaccines, but I'm not against vaccines. Oh, sure, vaccines are responsible for cancer and everything else, but I'm not against vaccines because that's what politicians have to do. That's what you have to do to keep your respect in your industry. You have to sell yourself out, even though you don't realize you're doing it. And so, like I said, who's better? Who's more unqualified, Patrick? Who's more unconnected and unprofessional than us to possibly make a documentary about vaccines? We're perfect, right? Completely detached, ready to make the most slanderous accusations. That would be slanderous, that is, if we didn't have the damn proof.
Dude, I want to, like, solidify something here. Are you calling us unsophisticated and unprestigious?
No, I can't say that I'm unsophisticated, because what does sophisticated mean just means complicated, right? So, yeah, I think we're pretty complicated, unfortunately. So I wouldn't say that.
Just want to know what our status is, because I'm out here with both fists up. 2008, I put out my idea that I had crafted myself to some of the biggest names in the anti-vaccine movement, and it was called my serum sickness postulate.
Yep.
No responses except for Rebecca Carley, and she was the only person in the, like, alternative media that actually said vaccines are biological weapons. And we did 3 years on RBN after that. And, you know, more years in alternative radio after that, but, you know, we did a 3-year stint on RBN where you can handle the truth. You know, but the bottom line is two people in the freaking world actually, and see this, Clint, because you and I live in words, this is our venue. If you call something the way it is, there is no more debate. And one of the memes circulating right now is, ooh, there's like these really good documentaries coming out, and we're going to bring up like the hottest topic of the century, the vaccine debate. Oh, everybody needs to go to my website, vaccinefraud.com. Look at the homepage, read the little excerpt from Cruikshank's book there, and you'll find that in 1722, they were using the language of depopulation, which people think, ooh, that's a brand new meme. They're trying to kill us. No, not only no, but fuck no. In 1722, they knew that variolation that came before vaccination was wiping out entire fucking villages. And so when you say it the way it is, they are weapons of mass destruction, then where's the debate? Oh, Vanna, can I have the vaccine behind door number one because it won't kill me as fast as the one behind door number two?
Pretty much. I was actually just writing in collecting, you know, as many things as I could just to show what Israel truly is, right? How it's absolutely against the true, you know, any kind of pious Jew would not have anything to do with Israel as a state, as a legal entity, as a corporation, as a state, right? It just doesn't make sense because that's, you know, the whole idea behind that notion of being a Jew was at one point being an Israelite, a true, which was a person, a people, excuse me, not a nation. In other words, God's chosen or God the choice, you know, the notion of following the law, right? Following the Bible, following the word, right? And then the word Jew, of course, came along for those people afterwards, Jew not being in the Bible, but it came along afterwards when you know, Yahudim and that other word I can never pronounce, and it literally means to be against Christ or against the new law, the New Testament. And I was looking into again the notion that, of course, it's recognized as a very race-based, if you will, racist, if you will, estate, a place where only certain people can come are welcomed, you know, according to your bloodline, which is not really any different than any other place. For a while there, when the Ethiopian black Jewish women were coming in, they were forcibly sterilizing them, and the government came out and had to admit this because those women started complaining, you know, they couldn't have any children because they were told that you're welcome to Israel, but in order to come here, you're going to have to be forcibly sterilized.
And so they were modern times, right?
They were given, Depravo. Is somebody saying that right?
I think it's Depro. Provera? Is it something like that? I don't know.
Israel, January 28th, 2013. Israel forcibly injected African immigrants with birth control report claims this weekend, a report revealing that African women immigrating to Israel were subjected to mandatory contraceptive injections, effectively amounting to forced, even if temporary, sterilization, and it made global headlines. And this was actually from Haaretz, the original source, which is an Israeli news source. Some 130,000 Ethiopians, most of them Jewish, live in Israel. A community experiences higher poverty and unemployment rates, of course, than the rest of the county's Jewish population, or the country's Jewish population. In the past decade, the birth rate among Ethiopian Israelis, Israelis has declined by at least 20%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The result of a birth control regimen forced upon Ethiopian women, Depo Provera. Gynecologists have been now ordered not to renew the prescriptions for Depo Provera. Now, the whole time I saw that, you know, I saw this story a long time ago, obviously, and it always was in the back of my mind. I just included it in my book just to show, you know, the various angles. All the sources in my book are from Jewish authors, nothing else. And so I thought about this, and I'm like, well, that's just a vaccine. But nowhere in this article do they say that Depo Provera is a injected, vaccinated product that attacks your immune system. Nobody ever says that or develops antibodies against your own reproductive system, right? No one ever says it's a vaccine. But it is, isn't it?
Well, you know, when I was doing some background work offline with Roxy Lopez, what we had arrived at together, which was, you know, under her, you know, extremely focused influence, was that pharmaceutical drugs are poisons. And as such, the immune system is mobilized to deal with that poison. And so you not only have the effects on homeostasis, like a blood pressure medication. What it does is it disrupts homeostasis. It doesn't balance your blood pressure. It disrupts homeostasis. It is a poison. And so you not only have to have your body try to go from the high blood pressure state to the induced poison that creates a low blood pressure state, but then you got to detoxify the shit and try to get it out of your body. And so what happens is when you are exposed to drugs, and especially injectable drugs, they act as if they are foreign agents, and your body has, and I call it continuum. Within the hypersensitivity reactions, you got like four different pathways that you can follow, but that's just a subgroup of how your body deals with foreign substances, and there's like five things that go on. Allergy, addiction, and that's what we're focusing on. Me and Roxy were trying to figure out, why is it that people are literally addicted to pharmaceutical drugs, street drugs? Stephanie Senna from MIT said people are literally addicted to Roundup pesticide. And then you got your hypersensitivity reactions. You've got detoxification that has to occur. These are all immune system responses, and your body is like it's like a frenzy. One of those time-lapsed photos of like a city where all the traffic is going through, starting and stopping, and then you know, clear out for rush hour, and then it all kind of calms down. That's what your body is trying to do with any injectable, with any drug taken orally or injected. And so the line blurs, and it becomes an academic exploration of what's the difference between a pharmaceutical drug and what they call a biological, because that's what they call vaccines, which is just one word away from biological warfare agent. So, Clint, what you're saying is drugs, whether they're labeled as vaccines or not, are going through the same factory process in the body as a vaccine.
Well, you know, the reason I say that is because the drug, which I is escaping me at the moment, that they inject into horses and other animals and humans.
Porcine.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. See, that's the thing, is people don't... Right. It doesn't matter what the drug itself is. It's what is included in the... You know, if it's... And I want to get this straight to people, and I just don't think that this is something that is on the tip of people's minds. But what, you know, when you take a cell substrate, you're growing this disease, whatever it is, and you're putting it into a cat or a dog or a horse or a, you know, a cow, you're growing it in cow blood, you're using all these different things that are foreign to the human body, but similar, right? Now, the law of nature is that similarity is not sameness, all right? If I have, if my reproductive cells or my prions or whatever are programmed in a certain way to communicate in a certain way in a certain language that is human language compared to, porcine, which is pig, or, equine, which is horse, whatever. Whatever I'm growing that medium is that I'm growing, you know, these cell substrates to put into my vaccine, the labels are very clear that you cannot get those proteins and the DNA. You cannot get that out of the vaccine. So when the vaccine is made, you are literally injecting into your body something that is similar but not the same programming of a cell that your body is going to recognize as something foreign. Oh, it looks the same. Therefore, I have an active, thing for it. But the problem is you start developing antibodies, for lack of a better term, antibodies or whatever it is that your body is going to do to attack your healthy systems. Now, I want you to consider how many different animal types, how many different types of tissue, blood, you know, all the different types that these vaccines are grown on, and you can find lists of that out there, all the different animals, the guinea pigs and everything, and I want you to consider that of the 64 or however many vaccines you're getting nowadays, giving to children, that each one of those animals or human aborted fetal tissue that was used to grow these vaccines is now floating around in your body, causing your body to attack itself because it recognizes something similar but cannot resist it because it's foreign. It has to attack it. Unfortunately, by attacking something that is so similar to your own body, it attacks your own body. So how do you stop people from having children? How do you stop horses? 90% of the horses up in the Assateague Range, the horse reserve, where they're supposedly protecting the horses, 90% depopulation in horses by simply injecting porcine pellucida, which is a pig ovary, into the horse. The pig ovary is so similar to the horse's reproductive system, whether it's a male or a female, that literally the body says, oh, I got to attack that foreign thing, but it's so similar to my own body that I'm going to send all these antibodies out there, just a general rush, and it's just going to destroy everything. And so these horses can't have children. They can't have baby horses because literally their own body is attacking itself. Now, Patrick, that in and of itself, that is the description, the perfect singular description of what is happening to us from birth. Our bodies are literally attacking themselves from birth because of the adjuvants, the things that these things are grown on, the fact that they can't filter them out, all the different chemicals, all the different things they're injecting into us. Squalene, we've talked about squalene. Squalene being basically the oil for your machinery, the oil for your car, the oil for your body, the lubricant. It lubricates your joints, it lubricates this. And yet we're injecting a shark squalene into our bodies as an adjuvant to make the vaccine somehow stronger. I still don't really understand the whole notion of an adjuvant, except the history of the adjuvant says, well, the dirtier the vaccine was back in the old days before they had microscopes and shit, the dirtier the vaccine was, the more dirt literally it had in it, the more unintentional infection it had in it, the more the vaccine would quote unquote cause a reaction in the body, right? An immune response in the body. So the dirtier the better, because you get that immune response, right? And that transferred into, well, let's purposefully contaminate the vaccines with something that's going to cause the body to go fucking nuts. And so you're injecting something that's, again, similar but not the same, speaks a different language, and your body goes into havoc mode. And, I mean, essentially, that is from everything from cancers to the prenatal diseases we've talked about to the problems with sterility to, you know, you name it. That's what's happening in the bodies by this absolute ridiculous habit, this custom that we've been accustomed to of corrupting the blood, of corrupting the body by injecting a bodily injection right into it over and over and over and over until at this point you have you've basically made your body into what? A chimera, a mixture of several different animals, bugs, insects, you name it, it's all been injected into you. And your body's fighting that, and unfortunately it's fighting itself. How do you explain this any better than that? And yet I don't hear anybody talking about this.
Oh, well, no, come on, Clint. Yeah, they're talking about it. It's called autoimmunity. And see, if you only get right with God and you have a good positive outlook on life, you can turn autoimmunity around. You know, you don't need to use, like, exotic health interventions. You don't need to rewrite your genes that have, like, the cervix of a black woman, you know, grafted into your very DNA. You don't have to do anything like that. You just don't worry, be happy.
I guess it's the here's what really bothers me, and it's real simple. This is a known entity. I wouldn't know about it unless they know about it. Okay? This is a known entity. This is something that is knowingly being done. And I always go back to that scene in Fight Club. I don't know if you've ever seen Fight Club, but there's a scene in Fight Club. The guy's an insurance agent. He flies all around the country looking at accidents to see to report them and to pay off insurance claims and stuff. And he goes through this spiel of how they determine whether or not they're going to do a recall. And basically, as long as enough people die, but not so many people die that their lawsuits are going to get out of hand and they're going to make less profit than, you know, not enough profit, they're just going to let the thing go and not recall it. If only, 100,000 people are going to get hurt by it, then the lawsuits aren't going to be so bad and they'll just let it go and not recall it, knowing that these people might be subject to a car that will blow up in their face. Right? Yeah. As long as the freaking statistics are okay and they're still making a profit, even despite the lawsuits they're going to have to pay out, knowingly giving people parts that are defective that will blow up and kill their children, okay, they're still going to do that. Now, what makes anybody think that the pharmaceutical industry is any different than that? This is a known entity. Like I said, I wouldn't know it unless the pharmaceutical industry knew it. And they're still saying, well, these people are so stupid. We're fucking injecting cattle here that don't complain. They don't even know about the vaccine, the reporting agency, which is what, NVIC or whatever. They don't even know that they can even make a claim. So what are we worried about? We're not going to get sued for knowingly infecting people and causing them ill health the rest of their freaking lives. What's the big deal? We don't need to recall. We don't need to actually put out studies that mean anything or can be reproduced. No, no, no. Just get that shit out there, man. This is profitable business. That's where we're at. This is a known entity. That's what bothers me so much. What bothers me so much is that this is understood. That when I inject you with something that is so similar to your body's going to attack your own body, and it's going to cause anything from what we just talked about, which is the Depo-Provo or any other form of sterilization, or it's going to cause your joints to get arthritis, it's going to cause prion disease, it's going to cause this, it's going to cause that, and that basically makes up all modern disease. And so that brings us back, What is the headline of this freaking documentary? What is the point of this documentary? That all modern disease has been caused by this known entity, this biological weapon, and it can be called nothing else. And for God's sake, there's a debate whether we should get free health care or not. Are you kidding me? All disease is caused by you, and you're debating whether we should get free health care? Screw you, because that's part of the profit model.
See, when you're on the farm, Clint, there's that thing called reality, where because everybody should be on their own land growing their own food, and then you would go to yourself, okay, the government-mandated schedule is that I shoot up my, let's just use cattle, I shoot up my cattle with a vaccine because that's what the government tells me to. But every time I shoot my cattle with a vaccine, let's say you shoot it in the ass, so your rump roast literally goes bad because wherever you shoot an animal vaccine, which are actually magnitudes worse, you talk about this adjuvant, quote-unquote, dirty vaccine. Animal vaccines are worse than human vaccines, if you can conceive of that. You shoot it into the ass of a cow, and you get, like, nearly an instant tumor. And so the way around that is you shoot them in the ear, because rarely do you use ears as human food. Rarely, I say. And so, you know, the reality of it is, And this is what Cruikshank found in 1889. See, cowpox was supposed to have been eliminated with Jenner's experiment on humans. It should have disappeared off the face of the earth. Well, in 1889, like 100 years after fucking Fast Eddie Jenner, there was cowpox, and they sent Cruikshank out. He was a respected bacteriologist. They said, hey, find out what the hell is going on out there. And it's like, good God, these farmers are fucking liars, and cowpox has been around for, like, ever. It didn't come back. It was always here. And back in Jenner's day, part of the problem with the transmission of smallpox is that, well, I should say cowpox, and any kind of like zoonoses is what I should be saying, is that they would milk cows that had active sores, pus, and scabs, and they didn't care if it got in the milk, and they would sell it to city folk. So farmers are part of that curse of, Abel killed Cain. So Cain was the animal husbandman. No way, Cain killed Abel. Wait, Cain killed Abel.
Cain kills Abel. Yes.
So Abel was the animal husbandman killed by the vegetarian. So Monsanto killed Tyson's, and the whole thing surrounding that was that they knew what the fuck they were doing, because when you shoot up an animal with a modern vaccine, you get a tumor. So you just fake it. You shoot it in the ear. Let's segue back 200 years, Jenner's time. What were they doing? Well, they weren't vaccinating the animals back then. They were vaccinating the people because they didn't care about the cow pus and the scabs and the tuberculosis, which got Cruikshank his fame. He found TB in the fucking milk supply. So basically, farmers have been evil. Cain, the vegetarian, vegan, Monsanto motherfucker, killed everybody through the agency of meat and milk, and nothing's changed since. This is what they do. And so when you're talking about known facts, Clint, there was some overt crime happening in dialysis clinics, and I did not know that you couldn't get to like Medicare and the FBI directly for a complaint of fraud. You had to go through the state police. And so I called the state police, and I'm talking to this, it's the special officer, special agent, that does the intake for it. And she sounded kind of bored, and I'm outlining what I thought was, criminal action. And she says, well, give me an estimate of how many dollars you think are, being lost per year on this. I said, well, it has to be at least in the tens of thousands of dollars. And she kind of sighed, and she says, well, we don't actually act on anything until it passes like $200,000 to $250,000 a year. They don't fucking care. Crime? Hey, that's part of doing business, man.
It's true. Well, listen, man. I guess this could be officially like an announcement that we're going to start on this documentary, and we're not real sure. We got some ideas already, and the point of this really is finally someone is actually going to come out and say it. Finally someone's actually going to say the words without the fear, without the fear of, without the reputation, without the worry about, losing their funding or their tenure or their reputation or their ability to be employed in the same industry that they're supposedly exposing, right?
Yeah.
Right. So great. Wonderful. Now, we got to come up with an outline. We got to come up with, I'll just give you an example, all right? Of all the damn subjects that we could talk about, there are a lot of them that we don't need to talk about, because if you've seen any other movie, you know, there's some commonly known things that we just don't need to go over. I already covered them in my other documentary, right? We need to focus on the stuff, again, that no one's talking about. The very biologically available weapon that is being induced into the body on purpose, the many examples of that. And I dare say that, and I don't want to be offensive to these people. Personally, let's take the example. And I did not see this movie, so I'm not gonna tear it down in any way. But the movie Vaxxed. All right. The movie Vaxxed basically featured this certain doctor, whose name is escaping me at the moment.
Wakefield.
Now, I don't know how to say this. Okay.
Say it, man.
I don't know how to say this without sound, you know, without sounding sort of coy or whatever. But that would be like Wakefield and what he has to say and what he did in his studies and stuff. That would be like almost the bottom of the barrel for what we're going to cover. That would be like covering kindergarten grade stuff, right? That's the kind of shit that I want to actually stay away from, are these institutionalized doctors who, again, I'm not against vaccines, but, you know, here's no, that would be almost insulting to the information that we've gathered, right? I want to stay away from the typical, you know, let's go interview the so-called experts, because again, what expert is going to actually come out and tell you, yeah, we've known this to be a biological weapon for a long time. I mean, what doctor is going to be a freaking, someone who points to all the military studies, and all the different things that we've uncovered? It would be a ridiculous waste of time to interview someone like Dr. Wakefield. And I don't know if you agree with me on that or not, but it just seems like that would be almost insulting to our audience, especially your followers, the people who've already seen, you know, this stuff in triplicate through many documentaries, including my own, right? The stuff that anybody can find. And the stuff that's promoted by freaking people like Alex Jones. We're going to stay away from that crap because everybody already knows it. It's the obvious stuff. It's the stuff people can find. What about the stuff that people can find or can't put together? I mean, think about it this way, Patrick. How many people out there, just average people, would actually stop in their day, do a bunch of research, with the thought that this could even be a biological weapon, that this could even be intentionally harmful? How many people would actually think, oh, they're sterilizing me without me even knowing it? They're, you know, how many people have this train of thought? And I, you know, for the most part, I'm happy that they don't. Because to sit here and think about this stuff, it's not a pleasant thing. To be the bearer of bad news and to be the one always attacked for being the messenger, not the message, but the messenger, you know, it's not a pleasant thing. But the reality is that most people are not going to sit around and consider these things as planned things. Why would someone it's a valid question. It's a valid concept. Why in the hell would someone be so fucking evil as to want to cause such a detriment to the body, such disease to the body? Why would I possibly think that by vaccinating my children, doing something so good, that I'm actually cursing them for the rest of their lives by, you know, who would think that? I mean, who would possibly, you know, want to think that way, right? And that's what we're dealing with. It's not that we're dealing with necessarily, you know, evil people. It's that we're dealing with people with cognitive dissonance who can't think that way, who don't want to think that way, who've been trained not to think that way, right?
The most recent example, because I get a lot of different emails on a full range of topics, I call him Elon. Elon Musk. Elon. El means Lord. On is from the Anu. He wants everybody to be interfaced with the AI. Yeah. And that's like saying, you know what? I'm really scared that the AI might take over the world, so maybe we should, like, hook up with it. And the equivalency is, hey, you know, I really don't like syphilis, so what do you say we as a community fuck as many goddamn whores as we possibly can so we all have syphilis and then we don't have to worry about it? And so what you're talking about, Clint, is people having what is called cognitive dissonance from paradox that has been sown to them of, I've got this absolutely miracle thing called a baby that is pristine and pure, and I have been told by an outside authority that in order to keep it healthy, I must shoot a demon in it, because if I can segue into, like, the absurd, 5,000 years ago in ancient Sumeria, they named diseases after demons. So you're shooting, literally, it's a form of possession. You're injecting a demon into an absolutely perfect baby to do what? To make it better? So the question is not, you know, would I ever think that, you know, vaccines are evil? The question should be, what the fuck is wrong with me that I would even consider doing something like that? I mean, that is like the most egregious, and see, we're looking for a title for the documentary series. You had suggested corruption of blood. That's the most egregious corruption of the very living thing. Why would anybody in their fucking right mind do that? To me, that's the starting point.
Well, we talked about this as the main, you know, as considering an outline or an opening for such a thing as this, where most people are going to be affronted and immediately turn it off as soon as you start talking what they are entrained to say is conspiracy theories, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's the media talking point. That's how they, it's just like calling someone anti-Semite or bringing up the Holocaust. It shuts down the conversation. You don't want to have that moniker, that label. Well, again, you and me, we don't care. You call us whatever you want. We're still going to talk shit about it. We're going to talk the truth. We're going to tell the truth. The truth. The freaking truth. You can't defeat the truth by your name calling. I'm sorry. You can't style me as a conspiracy theorist because I'm presenting government documents. Screw you.
Because it is a conspiracy by legal definition, and we can pull out the fucking law dictionaries and hit you upside the head with it and prove it after
right,
you become conscious again.
And that's the point, is that, who better to do such a thing, such a presentation, than people who don't care that people use, that understand the logical fallacy, they understand the stylization, the trick that they use when they call people by these names to try to single them out and attack the messenger, poison the well, throw a red herring in your way, right? These are all logical fallacies. It's a perfectly logical, reasonable thing to do for the attorney class, right? So, you know, who better to do this project than a couple of guys who look at that red herring and throw it back? Fuck you. You can't do that to us. You can't harm our reputations. We don't have any. We don't care. There isn't one. I don't give a crap what people think about me anymore. I'm telling them the truth. They either want it, they don't, right? That's you and me. Who is better qualified, I say again, than to do this? So the best thing we can do for these people who have been so entrained, who can't even imagine, who have this cognitive dissonance, who can't even possibly think of the notion that, oh, our government would purposefully harm us. So the best thing we can do is not even open with vaccine stuff, is to open with when Obama came out nationally or internationally,
right,
but specifically nationally, and apologized for all the times that the government committed these homegrown biological warfare tests on its own population.
Yeah.
From the Tuskegee you know, experiments on the black people with syphilis to this to that. There were like 90 different instances that he quoted, right? Let's open with that. Let's open with President Obama apologizing for the fact that they're biologically testing on us without even knowing it. Oh, no, that's a conspiracy. No, that is something that had a national, international apology attached to it. You think this is something new? You think this is something that isn't going on? Well, okay, let's hire somebody or ask somebody out there to go through all of the reporting documents that go into the National Archives. Because, you know, every time they do a biological weapon, they have to report it. It has to go through the presidency, the executive office, according to their own law, which is in my documentary, and then it has to, Title 50, and it has to go, and they have to say what they did in the Federal Register. They literally write it out in the Federal Register. So let's get someone to go through the Federal Register every year and see what they did that year. This year, we rained down hell on this part of the region of the United States, and it caused this many people to come down with a certain illness that killed them. I mean, that is essentially, that's the requirement that is listed, is to report it to the executive and then put it in the Federal Register. I mean, it's all there for the finding. It's all there for the due diligence researcher, right? So let's open with everything else that they've done. Now right. we can come back to the subject at hand, the vaccination, the purposeful, you know, harming through vaccination, and the fact that it's been planned that way since its beginning hundreds of years ago, and people can maybe actually not turn away because of their cognitive dissonance, because we just proved otherwise, right?
So I'm writing it down. One of the inspirations I got for like an overall view of what this documentary is a deposition of criminal complaint. Because we're not allowed to say it's charges. Only they can make charges. So we have to bring a complaint as a petition of prayer to the court. But, you know, basically I'm going to say these are criminal charges brought to them, and if so, then what you just established, Clint, in legal terms, is precedence. So we've got the Tuskegee experiments, we got SHAD, S-H-A-D, it's an acronym for when they exposed Navy personnel to infectious agents on ships, and then we've got the CIA doing the San Francisco Bay misting for Homeland Security. They wanted to see, because they only used like Serratia marcescens and Pseudomonas. They were harmless bacteria, and they were just trying to track to see, you know, if people actually did show up sick in hospitals, you know, what an enemy might be able to do to us. And of course, right now, Clint, Serratia marcescens and Pseudomonas, I forget which species of that genus, are now horrific pathogens within human populations, and Pseudomonas has taken over water treatment plants in hospitals. And so it's like, well, CIA, let's think about this. It's an agency. It's not part of the United States government, because under the law of nations, governments it's considered a crime to spy on another nation. So in order to get around that, playing word games again, they hire an independent agency to do the spying for them. And then, you know, in Talmudic justice sense, they're not accountable to it because, hey, it was the CIA. They were just doing spying and, you know, hey, they sold it to us for taxpayer money, man.
Yeah.
So, and what I'm saying is, Clint, my basic point is Tuskegee experiments, SHAD, the CIA stuff, what they did to Seventh-day Adventists in Fort Detrick, all this stuff is for people that listen to us, and, you know, hello to the five people listening to us, if they wanted to help us with the fact gathering for this documentary, get us all primary source material that is fact-checked and unassailable, because we don't want, like, internet conspiracies written by, you know, some high school kid sitting in his basement. Get us facts based on all of the horrific experiments they've done to, let's just say, North America. Would that be good enough, Clint? Just North American?
Oh, it really only matters with North Americans. Honestly,
in the name of Title 50, why do you say that?
Because we're trying to establish only the fact that a government would harm its own population.
Oh, okay.
That's all we're trying to establish. We don't. I can't imagine people don't understand that with the crown. and I think people understand that with such beauties as Saddam Hussein. So really, we just, you know, we need to get rid of this idea that America is America. Actually, you know, America. Well, I won't go there, but I will say, if you look up the word America and its history, it actually means serpent, devil, cool, whatever. So,
hey, Clint, I really have to interrupt you at this point and go back. We need a full disclosure and disclaimer. Now, I need to know up front, I want you to say on air whether or not you hold any vaccine patents. Because I don't.
No, I hold no patents.
Okay, so, and this goes to you saying, you know, what do we want to do, like interviewing a famous talking head? Because I had tasked my email list some time ago that somebody had given me this little, you know, the question that the serpent asked Eve. Now, does Andrew Wakefield actually have a vaccine patent? And so I tasked my list with, you know, getting to the heart of it. And what they did is they did indeed find that there is an Andrew Wakefield that has a vaccine patent, but we never were able to tie it to the Andrew Wakefield of current fame, who did, with Bradstreet, the guy that was murdered. Bradstreet and Wakefield sat side by side in congressional testimony in at least, I think it was 2002, the Burton report on autism. So famous. You know, autism moms just loved the Burton report. Of course, they never read it cover to cover like I did. And Andy Wakefield gave testimony there, and Andy Wakefield got defrocked, and Andy Wakefield is very famous. But does Andrew Wakefield, the vaxxed, you know, showcase doctor, does he in fact have a patent to a vaccine? Because isn't that conflict of interest to say, well, you know, vaccines, because I saw him and the producer of Vax, or the director, I should say, the director of Vax, were on an interview, and they said categorically, we are not against vaccines. We just want them to be safe and the schedule to be reduced. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, you got to be kidding me. Because you and I have been all along, you know, I started my crusade in 2008 saying vaccines are biological warfare agents. How do you make a fucking weapon safe?
Well, my gun has a safety on it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. See, yeah, bad me. You fact-checked me. Okay. Well, we'll have to scratch that off the document.
That was a stupid question.
Yeah. I'm a dumbass, man.
Yeah. It seems to me that this would be one of those things where, I would be willing to bet, and I never thought about this, but I'll bet you that vaccines actually say keep away from children. just like toothpaste.
Oh my God, that's so fucking funny. I can't stand it.
I mean, right? Do not allow children to play with the vaccines, right? It is a question, you know. We want to make them safe. And again, that is what someone who has a vested interest in the industry itself, or who, as you say, if you have a patent in the industry, then you're not going to talk shit about the very thing that's going to, the hand that feeds you, right? So this is what I'm saying. There is no one out there that doesn't have some self-interest. And that's the beautiful thing for me anyway. And I know people don't understand this. I think they support me just because I'm one of the few people that are like this. It's like, money be damned. You know, you can't pay me ever. All the money in the world would not stop me from doing this. There's no price that you can put on me. There's nothing you can do to stop me. Because wealth disgusts me. You know, the whole concept of wealth when so many people are suffering disgusts me. I don't want your money. You're not going to pay me off with anything. Right? So, but most of these people are somehow vested. They have a paycheck coming in. They have patent rights. They have whatever it is, royalties. Royalties. And royalties from fucking killing people. I mean, it's disgusting. Of course, I'm not against vaccines. I just want them to be safe. What the hell does that mean? You're right. It's one of those things where, you know, I just want, I'm going to build my house at the base of a fucking volcano. And really, all I want is for government to make the volcano safe. I'm going to build my house right on top of the caldera and freaking Yellowstone or whatever it is. And I'm going to trust government to make it safe. There is no safe.
We need to do like a graphic novel or a cartoon. It's like, you see, in my early years, I had to come up with concepts. And one of them is the false binary choice. Would you rather be stabbed in the chest or shot in the back? And the end result is the same. It doesn't matter. You're fucking going to die. But it's your choice. It's up to you. And that's why it's a false binary choice. And so the quote-unquote vaccine debate is, okay, you know, government, I would prefer the rusty knife with the tetanus on it, but could you please, if you would you please avoid my aorta when you stab me?
This is
called reductio ad absurdum, to reduce an argument to its most absurd form. And once you do that, and that's, you know, what I call calling it what it is. Once you call it what it is, there is no debate. It's a goddamn weapon, and you're petitioning the government. Oh, powerful government, you know, who demands that you experiment on us like lab rats? Would you please not hurt us as much?
Well, so is Hillary Clinton the rusty knife, or is that Donald Trump? Yeah, craziness. One of the things that I think would be a good way to actually sort of something else. Again, Patrick, I have never heard anybody talk about this but you. I don't think I would have figured this out if it weren't for your books, and you're talking about it, which is those three specifically least harmful side effects that they list as, you know, in every vaccine, which is, annoyance or redness at the site of injection.
Right.
Stiffness of the body, right. Stiffness of the bones. And what's the other one?
I'm going to have to pull up my own book to find out.
Well, yeah. So,
I adore that. Yeah.
So you're talking about the three reactions that almost everyone is going to get, you know, redness or irritation at the site. At the injection site.
And fever.
Oh,
yeah.
fever, of
like
course. Because how does your body fight infection? Fever, right. So, you know, these so-called, these very low-grade symptoms that everybody seems to report Right. are actually the most devastating things that are happening. There's signs that your body is under full frontal fucking attack by a biological weapon. You've just literally bypassed all of the things that'll protect you, and you've injected it right into your body. Of course you're fucking gonna have these reactions. Of course.
That's a warning. You see, I grew up with this ITV. It's like BBC. So it's a British series called The Prisoner. Patrick McGoohan. Mm-hmm. I grew up with that, but then you know I got them as an adult, and I actually studied them, Clint. I studied all the episodes of The Prisoner, and one of my favorites is he walks into a bar. And he orders a drink, and he drinks the drink, but this person that was stalking him had at the bottom of the drink, at the bottom of the glass, after he had drunk the entire contents, he could read the words that says, "You've just been poisoned." It's fucking classic, man.
Well, unfortunately, in my generation, I grew up with the Pee Wee Herman show.
Uh-oh.
So you know, that was my first introduction into words. The magic
bring
word
it on home, day. Man.
The magic word of the day is fun, right? Yeah. That's the level of the mentality that we're dealing with when even in my generation, so unfortunately. But I think that's important to really say, look, these are not just you know, typical or reactions that you shouldn't be worrying about. These are literally the entire body responding to an attack. Like your mm-hmm. body's going into shock, yeah. literally from something that should not be there. And I that is something that I never considered. And I congratulate you on actually having the fortitude to figure that out, because that's something that I've never heard that. These things are not talked about.
Well, Clint, it's from hard work, and thank you for that. It's from hard work, and when I was investigating vaccines as the cause of serum sickness, when I came across that very correspondence, if anybody's ridden in an elevator and had that little jerk where it actually feels like your innards are falling, when I came across that correspondence of, oh my God, the mild syndromes are the you've just been fucked message.
Yes.
My innards dropped. It's like, oh my God, this, because you get the sense, Clint, that this is not, well, you know, they have our best interests in heart, but, you know, they made mistakes and the vaccine schedule is too high. The fucking CDC sets it, and CDC is uniformed military service. It's a goddamn military assault. Okay, so there are no mistakes. When you say it the way it is, there is no debate. And I felt the sense, and the only way I can describe it is this. Whether or not you accept this at face value, that Kathy O'Brien, you know, how to make a sex slave for the Illuminati. She's got a big series out there. But what she did say, and this is so poignant and everybody can relate to it, is that when she was brought into this world of perversion and death, that she looked around and she saw presidents, she saw congressmen, she saw businessmen, she saw local policemen, and they were all fucking in on it. And her words were, where would you go for help?
Yeah.
And that small thing, Clint, when I saw, my God, the minor effects are the you've just been killed message. What do you do after that?
Well, see, and this is my philosophy has become so, I think, so different than most people out there who are trying to expose a lot of this stuff. My philosophy is, look, all I want for people to have is the truth. Not the truth that gets floated around the truth movement. No, that's all lies. Those are confirmed lies that we call truths. I want you to know the truth. I want you to know what everything that you do costs. I want you to know that the truth, before you go into anything, I want you to know the truth. And so, see, this is the problem with us, is because if that's my only goal, Well, there's no amount of money that can stop that. There's nothing you can do. That's all I want. All I want is for people to actually know what evil bastards they're being. I want
Clint,
you to know.
What I tried to do early on is I knew people that were well placed in rather large churches. And early on, when I found the serum sickness postulate, and this is what I said to open the show, when I found that association with serum sickness, I was approaching all of the big names in the anti-vaccine movement. None of them responded to me. And so I went to churches and I said, hey, you know, if you just want me to come in on a Saturday, I'll give a talk. I'll let people know what's going on, because you would think that churches, you know, this is the myth, that churches are, you know, somehow actualized and they're aware of self and they want to do the right and best thing. But when you see the American flag flying there and you realize that they're 501c3, they're not allowed to take partisan politics issues. And I now begin to wonder, after this, like, entire range of experience since at least 2008. I've been at this since the year 2000 on the serum sickness trail. But since 2008, I now wonder if all these big names, it's not just their careers as doctors. I wonder if they got a 501c3 and they're just trying to keep their fucking funds alive.
Well, I think, you know, you've got to understand what it is you've just, you know, what did you just tell people, right, that a 501c3 corporation of the United States cannot come out against the United States.
Right.
More than that, though, when you understand it from a legal perspective, that is freedom of religion. Freedom of religion in Black's Law 4th, freedom of religion embraces the concept of freedom to believe and freedom to act. The first of which, belief, is absolute. You believe whatever the hell you want. But the second, action, right, the freedom to act, remains subject to the regulation for the protection of society. So what you're really saying is that religions, which, you know, if you consider the Bible for what it is, which is a set of foundational laws that you are not to go, that you're not to break, you're not to respect persons, you're not to corrupt your blood, you're not to do any of these things that we do on a daily basis, right? If you consider that that's really what religion is a set of laws, moral laws, that counteract the legal or anti-moral laws or amoral or immoral laws, well, you know, there's supposed to be a balance there. But there is no balance because all religions are legalized, which means they're anti-God. They're anti-law. They're anti-Bible. They don't have the freedom of religion that we consider as stupid Americans. No, they have the real freedom of religion, the franchise of religion, which says, hey, I can sit up here on my frickin' podium in my ridiculous outfits, in all my pomp and circumstance and ceremony, and I can preach to you whatever I want. But when the man comes around, you know he's going to stick his hand in my pocket and take whatever it is that you gave me. Right? And this is my sin. Here's the collection plate. This is for sin tax.
Ooh.
Right? This is sin tax. Pay me the money to be up here and preach, but never act on what I'm preaching. Never teach you the actual fucking law that you should be following, because we're not allowed to, because we are in the freedom of religion, which means franchise of religion, which means you cannot preach a law that is antithesis to the legal law, because you are a legal corporation. So what you're really saying, Patrick, is that these churches cannot actually preach the Bible.
Oh, wow.
Which is why they don't.
Wow.
They cannot preach the Bible. They cannot tell you to follow the law of God or the law of nature, however, whatever makes you boat your fucking boat. You cannot follow the law. You can talk about it, but you can't act on it.
Right, right.
So that's really what you're saying. But you don't think of it that way because you think, oh, well, you know, we're free. No. No. That's not how it works. Even, you know, Congressman George Hansen, is quoted. He said, it's impossible to have religious freedom in any nation where churches are licensed to the government.
Wow.
It's impossible. He said that, not me.
So can I channel Daniel at this point? And you probably meant it, but let's just highlight it. A sin tax, S-I-N-T-A-X, can then become syntax, S-Y-N-T-A-X, that has this Ouroboros right back to language.
Well, so what you don't know, Patrick, is the word sin and the word sin are the same.
Awesome.
S-I-N and S-Y-N-N is the old version of it. Think about every word that starts with sin, S-Y-N.
Mm-hmm. Synthesis.
Synthetic.
Yeah.
Synagogue. Right? All these fucking evil words, right? So every word that begins with sin is literally a sin. Why? Because sin means something that is not real. It means something artificial. It doesn't mean that you're going to pork your neighbor's wife. It means that you're doing something or participating something that is fictional, that is artificial. That's what sin, synthetic, sin this, sin that. That's what sin really means in the Bible. But you wouldn't know that because all these churches preach towards the legal law more than the Bible law.
Hmm.
So they confound the notion. Because what church is going to preach against persons when every church out there is a corporation or artificial person? You know, you're stuck in a place just like these people we're talking about who are apparently exposing the vaccine industry in such a big way when it turns out they have patent rights, or have some connection that they don't, that they'll actually say, well, I'm not against vaccines. I'm just here because there's money in it. Right? I mean, that's basically what it's the same thing. You know, these preachers are the same thing. They're corporations.
Wow, nicely done. You actually stuffed that tail in the mouth of the damn snake. That was a great full circle, man. Wow, we got to put that in the documentary. Good God. Okay, you keep talking. I'm going to write this up.
No, I want you to. I want to go get a cup of coffee, but I want you to explain serum sickness to people. Just a brief postulate. But I want to make sure that people understand when we're talking about these three symptoms, right? Which are fever, which means your whole body's heating up to fight the fucking infection. The injection site redness and soreness and all that. And three, entire body stiffness of the bones, basically meaning stiffness of the joints, right, and muscles. You know, in other words, this would be like the construction industry saying, hey, when we drop this brick on your head, there will be three symptoms that happen depending on where it hits you in the head. All right? You will get bruising at the connection site.
At the connection site.
You will
damn
have.
We got to archive this one. We'll just get this conversation in this movie.
You will have some frickin' dizziness. Right? You may or may not pass out, but you will definitely have dizziness from the, right? I mean, it's like, if you think about it, the way you explained it, it's like, well, of course you're gonna have redness. Of course you're gonna have fever. You've literally just been attacked by the frickin' government's military through a doctor that has no idea what the hell he's injecting into you. I mean, holy shit! Right? You will have a bump from this brick, depending on where it hits your head. I mean, that's part of the bad symptoms.
Stars in Warner Brothers cartoon characters are optional.
Oh, man. What a... St- stupid freaking. Anyway, I'm gonna go get a cup of coffee. Just briefly explain. You know, first of all, what is serum? If I were to be interviewing you in any decent normal way, I'd ask, well, gee, Patrick, what is serum? I don't know what serum is. Is serum something that's a witch's brew? What is serum? And then tell people, you know, why serum sickness is. Of course, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you say, but. Go ahead, and I'll be back.
Okay, we're going to do the Pee Wee Herman version of this. So, before there were industrialized vaccines, there were what they called antitoxins. So, if you got something like tetanus, or there were certain other versions of bacteria that would put out toxic material, what they would do is they would inject tetanus, the actual organism, not the poison, into horses, and then the horse's blood would make antibodies to that. The organism would always put out the poison. So you get antibodies to the tetanus toxin in the horse, and they would harvest the blood from the horse, and hey, man, this was like the 1900s. They would fractionate it as much as they could, or maybe they just used a separation of the red blood cells, and all that's left is, after you take red blood cells out of blood, all that's left is serum. So they might not have even filtered. They might have just used straight serum back in the day. So that's blood without red blood cells. And then if you got tetanus, if you got lockjaw, that famous painting, because nobody's ever really seen fucking tetanus, is they would shoot you up with the antitoxin, which was a collection of antibodies to the poison, just to give your body like some relief, because the human body can't respond to certain overt assaults because it takes a ramp-up time to do it. And so what they noticed was, gee, when we corrupt people's blood with like animal blood, they get really fucking sick. And it took a while, but they started to call it serum sickness because it originated from putting horse serum from horse blood into people therapeutically, man. Now, I'm going to give you a little secret that there are two interventions for tetanus. If you got tetanus, they would typically shoot somebody up with curare. Because what is it? Tetanus is a tetany, where your muscles would contract. Curare is another poison, because that's all they deal with. That's the heart of pharmacopoeia, which is sorcery. They only deal with poisons. They'd shoot you up with curare because that relaxes your muscles. So there were always interventions for tetanus, but they invented this antitoxin scheme. And the other one, back in the day, we're talking thousands of years ago, the Chinese used cannabis, which is not your Monsanto variety that you can buy in Colorado. They would use that for tetanus. And that's why probably it was demonized, because the Chinese used to call cannabis a gift from heaven. And, of course, that doesn't exist anymore, because they've been genetically modifying this shit since at least the 1980s. So get over yourselves, you know. You're not going natural and using, like, you know, God's gift of hemp. It's been fucking GMO'd, man.
Well, so, let me interrupt you there and say, anybody out there that wants to start a business with me, it could be all in your name. I just want to be a consultant. You can just donate to me. But cool. Anybody that wants to start a business where we go and we find the ancient strains of marijuana and only offer that shit that only had like 1% THC that gave you that natural high, and have that be our business, I would love to enter into that business.
That's amazing. I did not know the ratio there. And so, you know, let's look at it. If the high was not, quote unquote, the medicinal part of it, then what was it about cannabis that they were demonizing? What is it that the opposition knew about the pharmacopoeia of that plant that they were trying to keep from the population? Because it was used for many, many different things in the ancient world. And I'm not advocating it. You know, cannabis, hemp means absolutely nothing to me. It has no part in my life whatsoever. I'm just giving you the background of it to show you you're not living in that world anymore. So fucking get over yourselves, you know. And what we're doing, Clint, is we're giving knowledge, we're giving background, and we're giving what journalists were supposed to do when I was taught journalism in the 1970s. You give both sides of the story and you let the reader sort it out. So it's like Andy Wakefield, yeah, man, he's against vaccines. And it's like, we still have to prove it. I don't have the proof, and that's why I'm saying, you know, listeners, give us the proof. Does Andrew Wakefield of Vaxxed fame hold a patent for vaccines? Because that's fucking conflict of interest. And that's journalism. That's both sides of the story. And maybe this show will make them do a disclaimer. Maybe next time he gets on an interview, he goes, yeah, just as a disclaimer, I hold a vaccine patent. You know, me and Paul Offit, you know, we're buds, man. Not so as not to imply hemp buds. But back to the serum sickness thing, Clint, oh my God, who are you? Clint. So they were shooting horse blood into people, and the people were getting sick. And about 1923, they were actually adding aluminum to this. And that's why aluminum, which is a known, the WHO, World Health Organization, calls aluminum, I don't know if it's a class 2 or higher, carcinogen. They know that it provokes allergy. They know that it's toxic to human beings. But because it was used since 1923, there's this thing in law called the grandfather principle. Well, we've been using it since 1923, so we're just going to let it go. We know it's fucking poison, but we're just going to ignore it. So, you know, here again, Clint, this is what I'm saying. When you call something the way it is, instead of trying to sell it, instead of trying to apologize for it, then it becomes blatantly clear they are shooting poison into you. But they give themselves a permit. Now, it was explained on a PBS radio show that a permit is this. The law, the legal system knows that there are certain things that are against nature, which they codified as being unlawful. You do not pollute. But in order to get the ability to spray a pesticide, you are granted a permit. Because they know it is unlawful, it is against nature, but legally you're able to do it. Now, see, I work the ground. I am one with the soil. Why in the world would I fucking poison the ground that feeds me? Why would anybody do that? And it comes all the way back to, these are core principles. Why would you have a perfect baby and shoot it up with filth? Why would anybody do that?
Well, let me give you some other examples of, you know, you wonder why people have these opinions. Well, you go to the what's called the Christian Medical and Dental Association. In 2004, they came out, because that's when this stuff started coming out, that they were using these aborted fetal tissues. Their quote from the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, Christian, excuse me, they said, using technology developed from tissue of an intentionally aborted fetus, but without continuing or cloning the cell line from that fetus, may be morally acceptable. So here's a Christian association, i.e. corporation, i.e. artificial person, which we're not to respect as a Christian. yeah, there you go, telling you that it's okay if you take an intentionally aborted fetal tissue and harvest it for medical purposes. And that's why there's a big underground, of course, a big underground on harvesting these body parts. And then, I always like to go back to my Rudolf Steiner, because he said some things that were right on key with other writers like Aldous Huxley in Brave New World, that kind of thing, or in some of his lectures. Rudolf Steiner this is 1917, in one of his lectures he says, the whole trend goes in a direction where a way will finally be found to vaccinate bodies so that these bodies will not allow the inclination towards spiritual ideas to develop, and all their lives people will believe only in the physical world they perceive with the senses. People are now vaccinated against consumption, and in the same way, they will be vaccinated against any inclination towards spirituality. And that's what I see is happening, is we're getting things switched on and off so that the part of the body, the part of the brain that has the functionality of that spiritual ability to discern between spiritual and legal things, moral and immoral things, is being shut off. Empathy is being shut off. Psychopathy is being turned on. A longing will arise. This is from a different lecture. A longing will arise and become general opinion. Whatever is spiritual, whatever is of the spirit, is nonsense. It's madness. Endeavors to achieve this will be made by bringing out remedies to be administered by inoculation, just as inoculations have been developed as a protection against diseases. Only these inoculations will influence the human body in a way that will make it refuse to give a home to the spiritual inclinations of the soul. People will be inoculated against the inclination to entertain spiritual ideas. Endeavors in this direction will be made. Inoculations will be tested that already in childhood will make people lose any urge for a spiritual life. Now, that's coming from a guy back in the early 1900s, where before all this technology we have today, before even the ability to do what we're doing right now, before television, before, you know, I mean, that's some pretty deep shit right there.
My first thought when you were reading this is that there's an acronym, I can't remember what it is, but it hit the internet. You know, all these things go viral with their memes, that they are working on or have actually created a vaccine that targets a center of the brain to keep Muslims from radicalizing, which means that they know that there are certain architectures of the brain that are susceptible to this kind of behavioral manipulation. So we're there. You know, the Brave New World, stop with this future stuff. The economy is going to collapse. Jesus Christ, take a look at my bank account. I don't know the economy was ever good. You know, collapse? What does that mean? It never worked. It never worked, for God's sake. So why fear the future? It's already here. They got vaccines to prevent radicalization of Muslims, for God's sakes. And, Clint, I got to correct you. There are no aborted fetal tissue cell lines. They're human diploid cells, and it's called MRC5 or WI38. And, I'm being a bastard about it, because here's what I'm saying. My core concept of call it what it is. So if you read a vaccine label, it might say human diploid cells, or it might say MRC-5 cells, or it might say WI-38 cells. It might say that, and anybody that's maybe conscientious and they want to see what's in it and they read the ingredients, their mind is going to literally skip over the top of it, because like L. Ron Hubbard said, if read something and you don't know what it means and you keep going, you've just lost the entire content of it. So people have to stop, like us. This is what we do. It's like anal in its approach. What the fuck is an MRC-5? And then you find out, oh, well, it's a human diploid cell. Oh, okay. And then you find out, well, what the fuck does a human diploid cell mean? Oh, it's aborted fetal tissue, so that makes all human beings that receive it a cannibal and polluted with this foreign DNA that then incorporates into our cells, and they wonder why we're angry. They wonder why a child goes from a beautiful kid that loved its parents to getting a series of vaccines and all of a sudden kicks and hits and spits at and bites its parents. That's the goddamn fetus that was ground into a slurry fighting back. It's the demon inside telling you, hey, there's something foreign in me, and I don't belong here, man.
Well, let's go back to Huxley, right? Let's go back to the Brave New World model, talking about, you know, you're talking about education, you're talking about destroying parts of the mind that have the capacity to go past logic, logic being a dialectic, meaning that whatever you put into the brain is the only thing that you have to base your logic on, right? You can't think outside of the logic box. In other words, very dangerous. Societies that have been built on logic all the way from the old Chinese empires have failed, and that's actually in my second book. But so what does Huxley say? What is the poetry in Brave New World? Again, the Brave New World was written long ago, and we should be considering that we're in it. Till at last the child's mind is these suggestions, and the sum of these suggestions is the child's mind, and not the child's mind only, the adult's mind too, all his life long. Well, you know, okay, how do you, you got John D. Rockefeller, who like the creator of the General Education Board, who's quoted as saying, I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. All right, well, wait a minute. Let's apply that with the current autism model, where what's the statistics they're quoting now, that half of all kids or 80% of all boys will be autistic?
By 2030.
Right,
80% by 2030.
And that cannot happen without vaccination. I'm sorry, if you're stupid enough to not understand that, I don't know what to tell you. You cannot achieve such a mental state in children or men without getting in to cause it. You have to. I mean, have to.
No, it's a puzzle. Autism is a puzzle, and it might be environmental, man.
Yeah, it's a green disease is what it is. But you think about that, you think of vaccinations and the campaigns that are going on right now, we're guinea pigs. Our children are being used as guinea pigs, and the goal is to perfect what is called the autism spectrum. To perfect a nation of workers who are not thinkers, whose suggestions that are given to them by government are the full capacity of the child's mind and the adult's too, all his life long. I don't want a nation of workers. I do want a nation of workers, not thinkers, right? How do you do that except by switching off and on and off the epigenomic switches and affect the mind in a way that causes a spectrum, as they call it, a level of autism that brings you down to the point where you're not a thinker, where if you're told to do something, you're going to do it without question, without empathy, without questioning your authority, right? That's the perfect Brave New World model. That's the perfect notion of making someone into what he called a delta or a gamma.
Right.
You have the alpha. You have the alpha and the beta. Basically the boss and the management, and then you had everybody else, which are this perfectly rationed, you know, melting pot of people who thought all the same way, who had limited knowledge, limited information, limited education, absolutely 100% the same in every way, because till at last the child's mind is these suggestions, and the sum of the suggestions is the child's mind, and the adult's mind too, all his life long. It's a perfect fucking setup if you're these evil bastards who are doing what they're doing. So, you know, you, I look at this guy, you know, Aldous Huxley was no friend of anybody. You know, he wrote blueprints for society. He wasn't writing to warn. He was writing blueprints, right? So and I agree with him. And I think what our problem, Patrick, is exactly what he says in one of his lectures after he wrote Brave New World, and he's old and he's touring, he says the real hopeless victims of mental illness are to be found among those who appear to be the most normal. Many of them are normal because they are so well adjusted to our mode of existence, because their human voice has been silenced so early in their lives that they do not even struggle or suffer or develop symptoms as a neurotic does. Now, you think about that. That's the perfect description of someone with mild autism. They are normal, not in what may be called the absolute sense of the word. They are normal only in relation to a profoundly abnormal society. Their perfect adjustment to that abnormal society is a measure of their mental sickness. These millions of abnormal people, abnormally normal people, living without a fuss in a society to which, if they were fully human beings,
wow,
they ought not to be adjusted. Now, that has been twisted, you know, a quote that's been twisted into the notion, the short quote by what's his name that, I don't know who came first, honestly, but it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society, right?
Some salami, yeah.
Right, I think that came after this one because it's very similar to this one, but
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
so.
Man.
So yeah, I mean, it's a theme that seems to be present in most of these people's, you know, going back to Steiner, you're literally injecting that ability to see that normal is not right. You're taking away the spiritual discernment to be able to even functionally indispose yourself of that normal aspect of society, and you participate. It's what we're doing. That's what we do on a daily basis, right? That's where we're at. And so how can I then expect people to make a moral judgment and say, well, no, I'm not going to vaccinate my children, when they're getting constant threats from the public education system and from CPS and from all these different things to say, if you don't vaccinate your children because it's normal, we're going to take your children away from you.
At gunpoint, yeah. Yeah,
right. That spiritual moral compulsion is not there in people, that they would even steal their children away from society to protect them from what it is we're talking about, from what it is that Huxley and Steiner and everybody else has warned us about, from what it is that the military writes prevalently about in its biological warfare fourth, fifth generation tactics. There is no compunction left in society because we're so normalized to this constant barrage against our health. I that's the frustration I feel.
So that inoculation or the cremation of care, if I can mix Bohemian Grove analogies, has been accomplished. It's a feat complete. Glenn, you know, because I've said publicly many times, I don't even like to leave the house. When I interface with the public, I'll be at like a service counter in like a, you know, commercial enterprise, and I'll be trying to talk to somebody, maybe even they're 50 years old, and they can't string three sentences together. And I have to repeat myself five times to make my point. I'm looking for rubber boots. What do you want? Rubber boots. What are those for? You know, my God, we're talking adults. I'm not working with school kids. Adults can't even communicate anymore.
They're like condoms for my feet, so
right,
that they don't reproduce. Yeah, it's someone needs to write a book on how to interface with deltas and gammas at this point.
Elon Musk he's going to obviate all that. We'll all be hooked to like the Internet of Things through our lace sensors, and then we can talk to everybody like the Borg.
The Internet of Things is nothing more and nothing less than a tracking device. It's like putting your whole life onto the Google map, the Google World map. You know, I had a guy that contacted me through another friend. And he had hacked into the Google world. You know, you have the whole Earth, Google Earth.
Oh, cool.
And when you use Google Earth, you're only getting a code that shows you cities and maybe streets and certain things. You zoom in, you can see pictures, and you see. But underneath that Google Earth is every other thing that's tracked on the Internet of what they call the Internet of Things. Now, you have the Internet, and then you have the Internet of Things. Anything that has some kind of chip or some kind of way to be tracked is on Google Earth. Like, if I want to know where every church is, I can do that. If I want to know where every cell phone is, I can look. If I want to know where every car is that's now modernized, I can do that. But I can't do that just by being a member of Google Earth. No, I have to have the code. So I have to be an agent of whatever to be able to view. And when you actually see what's on Google Earth, and this is what's been told to me, I'm saying this secondhand just to be clear, you can find anything that is tracked in the world on Google Earth if you have access to the code. Which really means that if you have access to what is, you know, it's kind of like watching your cable box. Ah, damn it, I can't get the adult channels because they're blocked. Well, that's what Google Earth is. It's like a freaking cable box. It lets you see certain things, but not everything. So that's the Internet of Things. That's all it is. It's just a fancy way of saying a tracking device. It's like putting yourself into a GPS. You know, you got to be stupid to want to be a part of that, to buy smart technology, to buy a smart refrigerator that's going to tell the government and your health, your freaking insurance agency what it is that you buy, because everything that you buy has a little micro dot that sends a signal to your refrigerator who goes through the smart meter on your home that she's hacked by government and tells you everything that's in your fucking freezer, and then they sell that information to all these corporations. I mean, that's the Internet of Things. It's not good. It's nothing miraculous. It's merely a commercial tracking device. It's all it is. It's nothing else. And now when you walk into a store, you remember the movie... You remember that movie? It was a Tom Cruise movie where everything was computerized. Wherever you went, it would say, "Hi, Bob."
Oh, yeah, Vince, yeah.
You know?
See your report, yep.
Yeah. So everything, I mean, you're going to walk into a store now. Everybody has a chip in their fucking card. No one's complaining that incrementally they're chipping us. Right now you have a chip in your fucking ATM card. Every time you walk into a store, the store recognizes you, looks at all of the smart meter information that it has on your smart technology through the Internet of Things, and it says, "Hi, Clint. Today we have a sale on this. I see that you're a video game fan. Therefore, we're going to direct you to this side of the store over here at Target. We have a sale on this video game, and because we're so precise, we know exactly what you like. Here is the Resident Evil, the latest Resident Evil game, because you like zombies." I mean, that's what we're headed for. That is the Internet of Things. It's not to help you. It's what makes you think that the Internet of Things is going to help you when everything up until this point has been designed to harm you?
But vaccines are good. They save millions of lives. So we got the precedence. Everything they do is for us, Clint. They're looking out for our best interest. So, like, if my toaster fails, you know, if it burns the toast, then the Internet of Things will know that my toast got burnt, man. They're doing it for us.
Excuse me, Mr. Jordan, but we see that you burnt toast on December 30th, and we're going to have to charge you a carbon tax.
Man, that's fucking awesome, man. This is a great show. I'm going to be listening to this like three times.
Oh, shit.
Fucking carbon credits.
Excuse me, but we just scraped the bottom of your toaster, and we see that you've been burning toast.
Oh my god, that's so fucking
funny. We have sensors connected to the Internet of Things, and we see an abnormal amount of carbonated toast crumbs. Yeah. What it's amounting to.
But I've got to get the listeners to focus on this one thing. Don't watch movies anymore. When you put them in, go directly to the extras, because there are two movies that scared the holy fucking shit out of me. One of them was Minority Report, And the other one was my favorite, called The Island. And when you watch these movies, and you would think, well, what do these movies have in common? What did the directors have in common? Because they were different directors. They were different time frames when the movies were shot. But when you listen to the director commentary, they say in no uncertain terms that Spielberg and I forget the names of the directors of the two movies, and a whole bunch of other folks were invited into a think tank so that they could project what would the future look like. Oh, the future would look like when you come to a subway terminal, it does a retina scan. When you come up to your place of work, it does a retina scan, and it will let you in. And you don't even need, like, an ID card anymore. And so what they were doing is they were basically fleshing out, scripting out the Brave New World for their masters. And then as media, they had become the predictive programmers of, this is what the world's going to be like, get used to it, motherfuckers.
Well, and I always thought The Island, you know, Island, great movie, great concept. I always thought The Island was the perfect way to look at when autism is, you know, once all this testing is done.
Oh, nicely
done. And the side effects are gone, right? And you get this perfection of the delta and the gamma, the autistic spectrum, and you've got this workforce. The Island is sort of a perfect example of, you know, you're basically wiping the brain of any moral or compunction or anything, and you've got this perfect little workforce. And the Island is basically, you know, you're cloning people, you're spawning them as an adult, and they have no point of reference, no education. You have to retrain them, basically. And so you've got these guys. I mean, what's amazing about it is, of course, now, I'm sorry to ruin the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry. This is a spoiler alert. But the theme of the movie is that you're cloning yourself, keeping this clone safe in this, you know, New World Order Brave New World sort of model. Meanwhile, the rest of the you know, Earth is the same, like we're used to it. But over here, you have this futuristic looking sort of Brave New World model place where they keep clones of you. And when your heart needs transplanted, you're going to get your own clone. Cut that clone open, take the heart, put it in yourself, and you're going to be good as new. Because it's technically, you're putting your own body parts in your own body, right? Brilliant. So what is the what have they trained these basically idiotic dummies, you know, automatons, these clones to do? But to sit in this room and do these ridiculously repetitive jobs, which is exactly why they want autistic people, because the repetition is simple. You don't have to ask any questions. You do it. You don't need breaks. You don't question what you're doing. And so one of the scenes is these guys feeding these tubes, putting chemicals and shit into these tubes, and the tubes go into the wall, and they have no idea where these tubes are going, right? No one ever questions it. They just know that's their job. They do their job. They get credit to eat. They're completely regimented on their diets. Everything is done for them, just like the Brave New World model. And suddenly one guy asks, hey, you know, the conspiracy theorists, hey, yeah, have you ever wondered where these tubes go? And you find out later where the tubes go. They're the fucking feeding tubes that go to the clones that are growing, right? So, that's the most fucked up scenario you can think of, to raise a slave race to be used simply for the purposes of body part harvesting, right? And to have them actually feed the nutrients needed to grow more fucking slaves, or even another clone of themselves,
Right.
How screwed up is that? And hell, isn't that what society has become? Isn't that what we've become? We've become a cannibalistic society, except our cannibalism is through makeup and through injections of aborted fetal tissue. We don't eat the babies. We inject them right into our fucking bodies. Right? We isn't that what we've become? And we're making these things. We're working for these companies that give us license to do these horrible, horrible things against our better judgment, against our will, against, and we think it's what? Normal. We live in a normal society. And people like you and me come along and we're somehow abnormal because we're actually questioning it, right?
So it was Michael Bay that came up with the island. And in his director's interview, he said, you know, he wanted to model things that were, you know, they kind of like were the splinter in your brain that had associations. And these clones were kind of like prisoners making license plates, because the prisoners that make license plates and get, like, you know, a few cents a day were working for the very system that imprisoned them.
Right.
And you just described that the clones were feeding the clones. And so it all becomes self-referential. If you are engaged in this society, if you can call it that, then you are part of it and you are supporting it. And that's, you know, to use the Bible quote, come out of her, O my people.
Exactly.
We have got to be completely dissociated from this madness.
Right, from the incorporation of it all. We can't be members of it anymore. And I can't tell you, I mean, that is the theme of the Bible. If there was one theme of the Bible, that would be it. There was one point, you know, I was writing about this, one of the parabolic stories in there, you know, Christ, what is the highest law? What is the most important law? And he says something really profound. He says you know, to take no gods before the one true God, which, by the way, is nature. it's earth. It's what sustains you. It's your very livelihood. It's existence itself. Everything that is real, as opposed to what is sin or artificial, right? Art, technology, technology. You look up the word technology, it means art. It means not real. It's artificial. It's sin. Now, yo, that Clint, he thinks all technology is sinful. No, you fucking idiot. The way you use it is sinful. The way it affects you is what causes you to sin, you dumbass. So, sorry. The notion that we're stuck in this fucking, you know, you always go back to the Matrix, because that's the easiest way to explain what you're trying to say. This simulation of reality, this copy without an original, this simulacrum, right? This crazy freaking normal society that we're all a part of, that we all contribute to. We're literally contributing to our own demise. And that's biblical. That's what the Bible's about. That's what it's trying to warn you against. And so what does Christ say? He says, yeah, take no other gods before the one true God. What's the one true God? Well, it's self-evident truth, self-existence. What is real? What is not real? What is made of God and what is made of man? God being nature, right? So, and then the second thing he says, and this is our, you know, if I were to put if I were a doctor, if I were a spiritual doctor, and I were to give you this society, what's wrong? You know, what I'm a diagnosis of what's wrong. This is it. Because the second thing he says, the second highest law is, which they call a commandment, is to love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Now you look, if you go read the definition of the natural law, the law of nature, one of the requirements is self-love. Self-love. Love of self. What does that mean? That means not having a third person, not having a legal person, an identity, a fiction, a citizenship, a status in society. It's been having no flattering titles, no legal fictions attached to you, no numbers, no nothing. It means that you love yourself so much that you would never corrupt your blood, either physically through vaccines or any other method, or through food, or you never correct your blood through citizenship, which is attainder, which is exactly the purpose of citizenship, public personhood, right? It's to take away your blood right. It's to take away your connection with God, in other words. God creates blood. Legalism takes it away. That's the idea. Take you away from the natural law, puts you into fiction, right? So what is the diagnosis? What is wrong with our fucking society, our normalized society? It's real simple. It's exactly what he said. It's that we don't love ourselves. We have no love for ourselves. We act in every way possible. We're acting as something we're not. Well, I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a dentist. I'm this. Oh, I'm a citizen of this country. I speak this language. I am this. I am that. No. No. The rule is I am and nothing else. I am no thing. What does the Bible say, man? It says be or believe yourself to be nothing. You're nothing. You're just what you are, right? But we got all these fictions. Right? We don't love ourselves in any way that we can actually say, oh, no, thank you. I'm not going to corrupt myself in any way. I'm not going to take the name. I'm not going to take the mark. I'm not going to take the number. I'm not going to take the vaccines. I'm not going to take the medical freaking pharmacopoeia poisonings and potions that you create, the drugs, the compounds, right? No, thank you, because I don't love myself. So, okay, if I don't love myself and my neighbor doesn't love himself and everybody around me, fucking my neighbor can be China. Who's not my neighbor on this world? If nobody loves themselves, everybody's caught up in the fiction, everybody's caught up in the technology, the art, even to the point where we picture ourselves as something that's false, that's art, that's legal, that's an identity, an id entity that we're constantly battling our ego for. Well, then how in the fuck am I going to ever love my neighbor? How am I ever going to fulfill the highest law according to Christ, right? According to the Bible, how am I going to fulfill the highest or the second highest law when first I'm breaking the first law, which is I'm taking a corporation called government as my God? Secondly, I can't love my neighbor because I'm taking a person, I'm taking a status, I'm taking a name, I'm taking all these falsities. Therefore, I don't love myself, and therefore I can't love my neighbor, because the only way I can consider my neighbor is legally, by his status, his identity, because I don't practice forgiveness. No, I'm going to sue him. The only way I can control my neighbor is to accuse him of being something false. That way I can take him into court. Because if I say, well, he's just a man of God, well, I can't force him into court then. But if I attach a false identity to him, a second or a third self, well, then I can control him. I've poisoned his house. I've put him into surety, into bondage. See, that's our problem. And then, of course, we support the system. We support the system. We say, you are a citizen. You must do what I say. If I summons you to court, you must go. There's no forgiveness here. I don't love you as my neighbor. I don't have neighbors. Nobody has neighbors. Nobody fucking... Most people don't even know their neighbors at this point. What the fuck up? Fuck the neighbors. Who cares about the neighbors? I love only my false self. That's our problem. The problem stems from that very essence of the natural law, which says love thyself, know thyself to know thy enemy.
Wow, yeah, it's been a substitution. We will take away your real self and give you the fake identity and then love that instead.
That is the whole purpose. And now we're talking about doing it through autism.
Okay, so one of my all-time favorite videos, hands down, is the Canadian video where the guy in the suit and tie makes his own vaccine in a blender on the kitchen counter, man.
Oh, yeah, he puts a fish in there or something. Hey, just to let you know, we're at the end of our show here. We're almost 10 o'clock here. And so you've been listening to the Cold Reality radio show here on UCY. Thank you very much for listening. And again, Shaul, you'll be back next week. Go ahead, man. Take us out.
Yeah, all I'm trying to say to support your thesis, Clint, is that you can make your own vaccines. But then the question would be, would you shoot it into yourself? If you wouldn't, then why are you letting an outside third party?
There it is! The question of the day. See you later. 20 rounds a minute, try to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make you Hitler as soon as they start to rabble. Fear nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary. For the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor stepping to them. I'm authorized to knock them out and stick a GPS into them. They want to sell uranium to Iran. That's enriched. That's a bitch. Now we gotta teach them lessons.
Truth on the Tracks, you can catch every Monday night and Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on...